Have you ever struggled to find the perfect fabric for your project? Maybe you thought you'd found the perfect fabric, but when you look in the description, it turns out it's a woven and you need a knit. Or maybe you found the perfect pattern and design, but it's not in the colours that you want to suit everything else that you've got in your wardrobe. Well, today I'm delighted to be joined by Diana and Justin of Raspberry Creek Fabrics to talk about their solution. So stay tuned to find out more. Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Hello again, and thank you so much for joining me for episode 57, where I wanted to talk about possible solutions to those occasions when you can't quite find the right fabric for your project. So why is getting the right fabric helpful? Well, back in episode 2, the wonderful Imogen Lamport of Inside Out Style talked about how when we wear fabric patterns that are harmonious with our features, it can really enhance how we look and feel. If you haven't listened to that episode, then I'll put a link in the show notes for you. With the developments in technology, it's now becoming much more accessible for home sewers to create their own fabrics. Innovations in digital printing that allow for smaller batches that can be printed on demand open up a whole new world of opportunity. So when I was considering creating my own fabric designs, I discovered Raspberry Creek Fabrics. And I was delighted when Diana and Justin agreed to chat with me about how their business started and how it has evolved. As a result, they both have a lot of experience of fabric printing, and as a home sewer herself, Diana uses her experience to influence the fabrics they select and the processes they adopt for their custom printing. In this episode, we talk about the impact on the environment of the textile industry and how practices are starting to change. And if you have a design in mind, how you can get started printing your own fabric or licensing your design for use by others. As you may know from listening to episode 55, this interview was recorded back in November 2022. Unfortunately, there were issues with the recording quality, and I've done my best to minimise the impact of those. But I believe the topics covered in this episode are important, and so hopefully you can make allowances just on this occasion. So without further ado, let's dive in. So hello, Diana and Justin, and thanks for joining me on the show today. Can you just tell everyone a little bit about the two of you and how Raspberry Creek began?
Sure. Raspberry Creek started as a tiny little Etsy shop in our basement. I was home with both of our kids. Our kids are 18 months apart and they were tiny. They were 1.5 and 3 at the time.
She wasn't busy enough.
She
started literally retailing quilting cottons.
Yep. Just buying and reselling quilting cottons in an Etsy shop. And me being me, I picked apparel sewing back up about the same time, because of course I needed one more thing on my plate. And then I decided, as I started trying to look for fabrics and wanting to sew my own clothes, the quality was not there. There was no quality pair of fabrics out on the market. I shouldn't say no, very few of your fabrics out on the market. So we decided that's when we needed to source some and bring them into our shop. And we have exploded since.
Yeah, I think the big change came about 5-6 years ago. We decided to start really our only apparel fabrics and then printing them in-house. And it really gave us the ability to do it digitally so that we could have unlimited designs. Because you walk into the fabric shop and they have some quilting cottons, but they don't really have cotton jersey apparel stuff. So we wanted to kind of be the main source for that, have a lot of the fresh, fun designs and be able to print on different fabric bases and things like that.
Yeah, you took it from very basic buying and selling fabrics, weren't you? That you started to selling from home and then it kind of grew from there.
Yes. So when we started trying to source apparel fabrics, it was a really hard thing to do. So one of the main textile centers in the U.S. is in Los Angeles. So we would go and source fabrics from Los Angeles and resell those. And still, the quality wasn't quite there. We wanted to take the quality up another notch, which is when we started meeting with mills in Los Angeles and getting fabric milled to our specification, weight, stretch, fabric content, all of that kind of stuff. and we screen printed and did that for a while before we brought on our digital printing machines and equipment, things like that. But yeah.
And I love that. I think, you know, just not being content with it being, it's just not good enough. So let's just go to the source and have it made ourselves. I'm inspired by that in itself. You know, let's just rock up and talk to the mills and create our own. You know, that's, there's something fantastic about that. Just going that extra step and contacting the people who make the fabrics direct and having them made, I think is amazing.
At the time when I started really sewing for myself and my kids, we could see that there was a resurgence of people wanting to sew their own clothes and wanting to, you know, make them for themselves that fit them well and things like that. So that was really kind of the push and the motivation. I don't know that we would have, or I would have been brave enough to just be like, okay, let's go talk to the mills. If we didn't see that this really was a trend and something that people were looking for and a product that people were looking for. I am not the brave one. Just the brave one.
Well, you know, we used to take the kids to Disneyland. I mean, in the very beginning, we'd take the kids to Disneyland and then go to the fabric district and load up the van. And I mean, that was kind of the early business model, which is not sustainable. And as things grew, we started talking to the wholesalers, and you just kind of work your way up, trying to find the right partner to produce the right product. And still, I mean, we get mill samples from different mills all the time. It is so hard to dial in the weight of the fabric that you want, keep it consistent. Customers want that consistency and get all of those little things that you're looking for. So it's an ongoing battle. We're constantly in testing. But for me, that's what kind of keeps me going is to find, you know, try to beat competitors out there by having a better, more custom product, something that your customers can rely on and have for years.
And we had a conversation before the podcast about that whole definition of what's best, didn't we? Because we were talking about different criteria around, you know, is best the print quality or is best how it feels? So just tell the listeners a bit more about that and your experiences with people asking you about that.
I just get the question every day, you know, what's the best printing? I want the best printing. Well, the best depends on what your priorities are, because there's so many ways to print things nowadays. But the quilting cotton is produced with an acid reactive printing process overseas that's done in bulk. And the reason they have collections is because they print 50,000 yards and put it out onto the market, and they don't release it again because they're never going to color match it again. There's too many chemical processes in the way. And so if you're looking for a product that's repeatable, that's not a good option. If you have a boutique and you want something to look the same or you want the same kind of colors, it's difficult to do it that way. So the type of cotton printing that we're using is called pigment printing. And we do that on cotton because it is very sustainable. There's no water, there's no chemical, there's no steam and wash. And it's also something you can do digitally. And so we could do an inch or we could do 1,000 yards. It doesn't really make a difference. The benefits of pigment printing, again, repeatable, consistency. You've got, it's digital, so you can do a watercolor effect, customizable type things. It's extremely light, fast, and it's got great abrasion resistance. I think the issue is the color saturation. And a lot of quilters want that dark navy background. And that's really only achievable with that overseas acid reactive printing. So we're trying to bridge that gap. And we've been traveling, been to Italy, been to Istanbul, testing different methods of pigment printing and trying to find ways to improve it. And we think that next year we're getting a lot closer to it. But you're just seeing a lot of change in the technology.
So when backing up, when Justin says overseas acid reactive, so we are in the U.S. and the reason why we cannot do acid reactive printing in the U.S. is because it is very chemically intense and it requires nearly 20 gallons of water to produce 1 yard of natural fiber textile. And that is all wastewater. And in the United States, we have environmental regulations that will allow that, which is why companies have come up with this form of pigment printing. It's much more environmentally friendly. No wastewater, no harsh chemicals. Our inks and pigments are even biodegradable.
Makes a difference. And they do last. I mean, Diana made this years ago and is still wearing it. You know, it
yeah,
looks,
3 years looks ago. Good. Yep.
So it is industrial level, and you do see those pigment printed products in stores. We have been to the labs. We've been to the mayor's seeing the chemical labs and the processes as we were starting to do this. And more and more, even overseas, they're trying to get away from it. A lot of the printers in Pakistan and Turkey these days are moving away from acid reactive and going toward pigment. And so I think we're going to see a big change in the market toward a pigment product rather than an acid reactive.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons for wanting to explore that a bit more with you is because I think there isn't enough knowledge, you know, globally about the impact of creating some of these items to go to market. And I remember doing my fashion course a few years ago, and one of the things that struck me was around the environmental impact of creating things like the sort of heavily dyed denims, or, you know, like those indigo type fabrics and those kind of black fabrics, and the fact that it has a big impact on the communities that they're being produced in, because there isn't the same regulation, as you mentioned. Right. And we talked about trying to change people's understanding so that they change their demand, you know. So if you know that that's a harmful process, then perhaps you won't choose indigo for your next quilt. You might choose a more sustainably colored item or fabric, or, you know, those choices. And I think it's important to share that a bit more and expose that a bit more, because it isn't really talked about as much. And the water process is definitely one where I know that Levi's, for example, have been doing a lot of work to try and reduce and recycle and do more on water consumption for every square meter of cotton produced and dyed and so on, haven't they? There's like a big push on that. But I still think it still feels very quiet and quite unknown, I would say.
Right.
Yeah. So there's the upfront end of getting it printed, but there's also a waste factor in pre-printing that much fabric, because a lot of the retailers, we've got some connections to some people in higher up retail places like Target and things that we won't name names, but, you know, they live by the rule of thirds, they say. You know, a third gets sold at full price, a third at a discount, a third in the trash. And so when there's so much pre-printed fabric out there, a lot of it is ending up in LA in the little discount shops, but a lot of it does get thrown away and it's not recycled. So one benefit of print on demand is that it is literally printed on demand. All of our orders are printed for that particular person. We're able to only stock white fabric, and really nothing gets thrown away.
Yeah, it does make a big difference. And there was a big push recently on just even the high street fashion retailers throwing stuff away and encouraging some of the higher luxury brands to not just burn stuff, but to also start to recycle or reuse, or, you know, give that stuff away, or just work in a better way. There's such a lot of waste, I think, just generally in the industry, isn't there?
And, you know, even though we are, I think, running a very sustainable type business, we're trying to find better recycled fabrics. It's interesting at these shows, they're using Reprieve, which comes from water bottles, more and more. And I think we're going to see the recycled content of our fabrics go way up in the near future.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways to attack the problem, I think.
Yeah. And we talked about that, didn't we, about the impact of the extra cost of recycled fabric, didn't we? Can you just share a bit more on that?
Yeah. Well, recycled fabric, and I think custom printing in general, the cost is more, but it's kind of a shift in your mindset of, I'm going to create something for myself that is unique and special. I'm going to choose to custom print it to cut down on the waste fabric. I'm going to choose a recycled fabric, even though my initial cost might be higher. This is going to be a quality product that is unique to me, that is custom for me, that's going to last me years and years. And it's just a shift in that mindset of, do I want this quality product that's going to last me years and is beneficial to our environment? Yeah. Or do I want to just run quick, grab something off the shelf, throw it on? It doesn't matter if it polluted, you know, hundreds of gallons of water in the making or whatnot.
I think, too, there is a benefit for consumers that want to maybe pay a little more for digital print. I mean, we have 22,000 designs on our website right now that the customer can scale. So you could have small teddy bears, big teddy bears, or a baby onesie, and you're able to print it on a bamboo, cotton, spandex, something you're just not going to find that at a fabric store. So the price is higher.
Or in ready-to-wear, you know.
You're able to get an extremely high-quality knitted in Los Angeles bamboo cotton knit with your choice of 22,000 designs, scaled just how you want it, printed just for you with pretty quick turnaround time. So I think that helps offset it. And not to mention, we are paying a good wage to the people that are here and are processing the orders. They're real people that, you know, have a quality of life and are proud of what they're doing and have been with us a long time. And we kind of want to keep that company ethos going.
Yeah, I saw something on another podcast recently about how hard it is to track sustainability of fabrics from, you know, conception right through to sale, because there are so many stages in the process and it isn't transparent at all. And some of those areas, there isn't the same diligence of payments and supporting the staff. So I think it's great to highlight that. I think it's important to talk about those things as well. In terms of producing the printing then, so that's one of the areas I'd like to talk about a bit more as well. So for those people who would see themselves as, maybe I do, maybe a little bit graphically challenged, we talked about printing your own designs, but it doesn't have to be something necessarily that you've created from scratch. Like you said, you have some designs that people can tailor, even just rescaling it or maybe recoloring some of those aspects. So can you share a bit more about that?
Yeah, on our website, we have two options for those who are not graphically challenged. Yeah. Those who have artistic abilities, they can create their own seamless repeat and upload that directly to our website, pick their fabric and their yardage to print their designs. When we first started, I did all the designing for our business, and we have grown and I just don't have time anymore. And it is a lifesaver for me to just go to the design library, pick, like Justin said, from 22,000 designs, which is a lot, but it's amazing because you have a choice for almost anything, an option for almost anything. And you'll be able to pick from there and think, this would make the most beautiful dress. I'm going to put it on this ranchovy, and away we go. Just like we all have our own unique taste, every artist has their own unique design aesthetic. And so there really is something for everyone.
Yeah, I think the missing part here just is that we have probably 400 plus designers on the site. And it's kind of turned into a marketplace now where designers can upload their own designs, have their own shop. They are the commission and an affiliate link. And so you're really getting a wide variety of different tastes and styles. I don't know if this is a good time to just a quick plug about technology, but fabric printing is very manually intensive. Just the file management aspect of somebody orders sunflowers on Swim, well, that's got to go through a specific color management protocol. You know, the guy at the printer has got to find it and pull it up and get it processed the right way. And every time someone touches a file, it's an opportunity for an error to get introduced. And man, we tried so hard to get automated from web to print with big name companies that we've heard of, and we just couldn't get it done. So we coded our own solution and got a patent on it in April. And what that solution does is lets us put unlimited files on the website, and no one here touches them. They're all processed in the background and batched and ready for printing. And so we're really excited about that. That's why the marketplace exists. That's why we've been able to expand to wallpaper, and it's really going to bring a lot of cool things in the future for us.
Yeah. So if there's budding designers out there who want to just set up their own designs and promote those, then there's an opportunity to do that in the marketplace. As you said, if you're listening and that's something that you've been thinking of doing, or you've got some ideas and you want to try that out, then definitely that's an opportunity to test out ideas for designs and things like that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We were getting ready to roll out our Christmas designs, and one of our sample seamstresses is Jewish, and she said, hey, will there be any Hanukkah prints this year? And I went, oh, sure. I'm not Jewish, and I do not know about Hanukkah, but let's work together. And she and I worked together to create some Hanukkah prints. One of the things that she said is that out there at the big box fabric stores, there are really cheesy Hanukkah prints that nobody really wants to wear, or it just looks like a tablecloth or something like that. And she's like, really, we want something that is beautiful and that we feel beautiful wearing.
And is appropriate.
And respectful to the holiday and to the occasion, instead of looking cheesy or cartoonish.
And to me, that's just kind of a lesson. You know, we have 400 designers on the site and we had no Hanukkah prints.
Yeah.
And so there's always an opportunity for someone to create designs and be successful because they have their own life experience and their own interests. They've got their own aesthetic. And, you know, you start designing and you're going to find your audience, and they're going to stay loyal to you and they're going to be coming back.
And have you got any tips, Diana, on things that work well for designing your own fabrics, or things to avoid or anything like that?
Oh, goodness. You know, honestly, this kind of sounds cheesy, but stay true to you and what you like, because there are going to be other people out there that like the same things that you like, and they will find you, and you will form your own little community based on, you know, your style. But as far as like actually design, just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We live in such an amazing day and age where you can YouTube almost anything and figure it out. I'm not a professionally trained graphic artist. I taught myself on YouTube how to design seamless repeats in Photoshop. So it can definitely be done. Just don't be afraid. Just jump in.
I don't mean to dissuade anyone because watercolor florals are beautiful. And we all love watercolor florals. There are a lot of watercolor florals out there. So if that's your goal, you have to get real good at it. But, you know, there's never enough fabric for boys or for men. You don't see much abstract stuff. So just something to think about.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's not enough just geometric shapes whenever I'm looking, or just things with not hundreds of colors either. You know, sometimes less is more for me. I think I was going to say that to anybody. Yeah. Anybody listening that wants to design me something beautiful, then less is more. A few colours and yeah, it's quite simple and straightforward, not too busy. I love that. And I love that, like you said, there's an infinite number of ways of combining design and pattern and shape. So yeah, don't be put off by that. Go with your gut.
We were talking earlier about kind of the push toward PDF patterns.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan because I'm impatient and I don't shop a lot. So if I can order it now, print it and then start working on it, then that suits me down to the ground. And people that I've spoken to on courses and sewing meetups and things, I think there is a bit of a divide. There's those that love the print that's already in a lovely package with all the tissue paper and the feel of everything. And even with the indie designs, there are still printed versions of the indie designs as well. And people will often gravitate towards those. But I spoke to somebody recently who said, you know, if I've got to make a lot of alterations, then the fact that I can just keep printing different versions of it or keep kind of fine tuning it, that's a big sell to me. Because if I have to keep moving the tissue paper patterns, they don't really last as well. I think the indie ones as well, they do print on thicker quality paper. But my mom, she's a big fan of buying the PDF patterns and then sending them off to have an A0 version printed off as well. Yeah, so yeah. There is a kind of halfway house as well there. She's not a big fan of sticking it in front of the TV. I like cutting them out and sticking them together. I think it's that bit of jigsaw pattern in me that I really enjoy. How about you? What's your preference?
I'm the same. I find I have to grade between sizes no matter what. And I just find it so much easier with the PDF patterns because, yeah, I can print, you know, my bust in one size and my hips in another. I don't know that I've ever had a big pattern get me properly. And it just feels like a lot more work getting the fit right with those patterns than the new indie patterns. So that would for sure change the way that I sewed and the way I sewed for myself and my kids. Yeah, our daughter is really tall and for a long, long time, we could not find dresses off the rack to fit her because she's so tall. So we were just grading patterns for her all the time so that she could have something to cover her legs. So she's not just...
yeah, not wearing everything cropped.
Yeah,
I have to confess, that's never been an issue for me, being 5'2". No, nothing's ever too tall. I envy that, definitely. One of the other things that we talked about was the fact that as suppliers of the fabric, it's not as common to then have somebody who's also making. So tell me a little bit about how you use that feedback of being a maker and then choosing your fabrics and how that works into the business.
I can think of a lot of examples. In this Hachi is one, you know, this is a sweater knit Hachi. There was a clamor in our Facebook group for better sweater knit and to have some prints on it. And so it's not that difficult for us to source a great Hachi and start printing on it. And because we're the owners, you know, we're not owned by a conglomerate, we can bring things in and experiment with them. We have something called Oatmeal French Terry that comes out once a year because we can only get that mill's attention for that much. And it is an incredibly soft, great oatmeal that we're able to customize with fun prints and sells out every year. So it's nice to have flexibility and go, I wish this was a little thicker. Okay, we go back to the mill and we have them thicken it up.
Yeah.
Things like that.
And kind of vice versa. I mean, in the opposite direction as well, there are customers that will be like, okay, well, I like your cotton spandex jersey, but it's too thick or it's too thin. And so because I sew for myself, I can sew something up and I can demonstrate that in several different patterns. You know, this is our weight of fabric and this is how it's going to look in several different patterns. And there are different applications for different weights of fabrics. It's good to be able to demonstrate that and kind of help educate, I guess, because I think a lot of times when people are newer to sewing, they have this mindset of thicker and heavier is bigger and better. And that's not necessarily always the case. So I guess education is really a great asset, that being a seamstress myself and owning the business.
There are a lot of suppliers out there. If you're a business guy in a suit with an MBA and you're running a fabric printing business, you've got a different vision for that business than someone who's actually using the material and sewing and knows how it sews up.
Yeah. You know?
And so we go to fabric shows all the time, and or salesmen come in and try to pass off goods, and you just go, oh, this isn't going to work here.
I think that's key. You know, I think, like you said, I agree with you about the thicker fabrics, particularly when people are starting with stretch fabrics. They sort of want the reassurance that it's not going to be too stretchy or they're going to be able to manage it. So I've seen that too. And I think being able to demonstrate that it will work with this type of pattern, I think that's important. Because again, you know, buying fabrics is hard enough, and then working out what you're going to use it for. There's two massive combinations of things that you can bring together, aren't they? So anything that you can do to help people narrow down those choices, I think, is really valuable.
Yeah. And, you know, we do have some good resources for people who are trying to get into sewing knits. We have a blog that's been going forever, and it should have more attention, I think, because it really is a fantastic resource. Sewing bloggers, we team up with them to sew a project. They give pretty thorough reviews about the fabric and the patterns and great tips on how to get it going.
Yeah, we have a private Facebook group. We are over 30,000 members in there now. And I say that it is the best community on the internet. There, you know, there's a whole bunch of negative buzz about the internet, and it's so bad, but we have the best community. And I don't use the word community lightly either. Like, I feel like I have 30,000 friends in there. It's a place that I can go and be like, hey, I don't know about this fabric. Talk to me about this fabric. Who knows something about this? Should we have it in our shop? Has anyone sewn with it? It's a place I can go and be like, hey, I'm trying out this pattern and it's not quite working. Can someone help me make adjustments here or there?
And there are probably 10 or 15 posts a day of just customers. Look what I made, you know?
Yeah.
And they get a rush of compliments from genuine people who are wanting to emulate the thing that they've made or give them a compliment. It is just a very positive thing.
And you mentioned how important the community is to you, especially kind of as it's grown with the business as well, hasn't it? And seeing that evolution of your customers as well as the business alongside it, supporting one another.
Yeah. And bringing back the dying art of sewing for yourself and being able to create something unique and beautiful for you is, it's huge. I love it. It makes me happy. Every day it makes me happy.
Well, it's been quite a varied conversation, and I've loved speaking to you both and finding out more. So if people want to get in touch with you and find out more, what's the best ways to reach you?
Come to the house.
Drop by.
Sunday dinner, 5 o'clock. I think the private Facebook group is just a great resource to know what's going on, what's coming, what's hot, and the email newsletter.
Any questions, specific questions, you can have a contact us form on our website, raspberrycreekfabrics.com. There's a contact us form. And those emails go to our customer service gals. But if there's anything they can't answer, then they come to Justin and I and we jump in. Yeah. We're not afraid to help out and talk to everyone.
If someone's got a technical problem or they've got a special project, they're more than welcome to email me and we'll help get that set up. We do it all the time. Bring in custom fabrics. We had a golf shirt guy in here that had pre-sold a bunch of golf shirts and had an emergency. You know, his other place wasn't working out, and so we got that done. But Justin at raspberrycreekfabrics.com. I'm always around, and my cell phone's at the bottom of the email. You can call for a special project. You can call to yell at me. Just whatever.
So we'll put some links into the blog and the website and the Facebook group and all those things into the show notes. Is there anything else that you want to leave the listeners with before we finish up?
We're excited for some fresh faces in the group. We like seeing people move from kind of project-based sewing into more apparel sewing, because there is a real sense of excitement in their eyes as they gain some confidence to the point that they reach that ultimate challenge, which is sewing your own swimsuit. And, you know, when someone is sewing their own swimsuit, you know that they have mastered the art of apparel sewing. And we have a great group of people who come spring are showing swimsuits like crazy. So excited to see some fresh faces, see people gain kind of this skill and, you know, offering more of what apparel sellers are looking for.
It's been lovely to chat to you. I do just want to mention one thing to the listeners because they won't be able to see, but I will try and post the video, part of the video as well. But in the background between Justin and Diana, they have the most amazing wallpaper. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, new product here. We thought it was going to roll out today. We might need a few extra days. It's a good thing there's a delay on the podcast. We really did the due diligence and there's a lot of cheap wallpaper out there. We thought, do we go low? Do we go high? Ended up trying to do the highest quality thing possible. So this is repositionable peel and stick wallpaper, built very tough with the best printing imaginable. It's UV plus, we call it. Twice as light fast, very durable, scrubbable. There's details on the website, but we're excited about wallpaper because it's going to open up some opportunities for designers to sell more designs. If you're creating a bedroom, it's nice. You could maybe pick a wallpaper that corresponds with some linen. You could get some linen printed with something from the same collection. So it's interesting.
Yeah, fantastic. What a great development.
We have great linen and we have great poplin. So for all kinds of applications.
Well, thank you so much, both of you. And I will put all the details and the links in the show notes. And thanks so much for sharing what you do and the amazing job that you're doing to promote this brilliant product.
Well, we appreciate you too. And having a little light shine on our business means a lot. So we appreciate the opportunity.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.